well in the Lord today.
Amen.
I forgot I was singing today, so, but hope this song is a blessing to your soul this evening. You know I'm still pressing my battle. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, I've learned a lesson from a little lily. It was struggling beneath the miry clay. Spun by sheer desire, that lily stand up higher. Makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, if God provided for a tiny sparrow, surely He will meet my every need. How can I give up when He fills my empty cup? Makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, the race has not been given to the swift one, but it's to him that will endure till the end. How can I give up when he fills my empty cup? Makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, the race has not been given to the swift one, but it's to him that will endure till the end. When I press my final round, then I receive my heavenly crown. Makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still pressing my battles. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way.
Amen. What a timely and appropriate song this evening. Amen. Let's all stand. If we could, I'd like today's Jeffrey's birthday. I'd like to sing to the August birthdays, if we could. Be all right with you. Okay. All right. Let's change over service.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up. Bless you. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Okay.
All right.
You're not going to leave yet, are you? Well, yeah, I'm going to sign. They didn't ask me. But I'm going to sing anyway. They didn't ask me. Y'all bless y'all. Be seated, please. Thank you. God bless y'all. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Y'all just pray for me tonight, and come on. Sister Anna, it's good to see you tonight. Certainly want to continue to remember all those that are not able to be with us.
Amen. That's right.
And this is for Janine. She asked me some time back, when you sing again, sing this one. So we're in the C. But thinking about this week, thinking about Brother Tom Ernest passing on, and first time I ever met Brother Tom, we were in Gainesville when Brother Biscoe came and preached at the meeting. Yeah, sat across to the table from me in the minister's breakfast. That's the first time I ever met him. And he knew my grandmother, Sister Grace. So. And so we had a lot to talk about. And I'll never forget, of all the things I remember about Brother Tom was when he come here and he was talking about preaching too long or preaching too short or trying to know how long a preacher should preach. And, you know, Brother Branham said one time that, you know, everybody was complaining about, you know, 20 minutes is too long. He said, what you need is a good 4-hour sermon to get you some gospel vitamins and everything. And I always never forget Brother Tom Ernest talking about that 4-hour sermon. And said, you know, you mentioned that a few times from the pulpit. People start getting nervous. But you know, the different ones that have passed on. And, you know, there's many that are still in the battle. And, you know, I pray there's so many that's, you know, battling COVID and different things. And Sister Karen Pruitt passing away and, you know, different ones. And I was thinking about this song today, and it's called I've Never Been This Homesick Before. And I think it really speaks to the day that we live in, because, you know, it's the bride has to get herself ready.
Yeah.
It has to be our desire to be ready.
Amen.
And you know, when we get to the place where, you know, we don't want to be in this pest house any longer.
Right.
You know, because it's, as Brother Bram said, it's desperation time. It's for the bride to get desperate. So.
Amen.
If y'all know the words, y'all can help me sing it. There's a light in the window, the table spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. Well, I can see a crystal river, so I must be near forever, Lord. I've never been this homesick before. Well, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And I can see my father standing at the door. Now this world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Well, I can see the family gather. Sweet faces, they're all familiar. But no one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, this lonesome heart is crying. Beg, I'll spread my wings, go flying, Lord. I've never been this homesick before. Well, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. And I can see my father standing at the door. Now this world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Yes, Lord, I've never been this homesick before. God bless you tonight. If you don't mind, we'll stand. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 40, and then we'll turn to Job 39. So Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to begin at verse 25. And before we read, let's just all bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, for another time to be in your house, Lord. And Lord, that we can feel your presence, Lord, together with those of like precious faith, Lord. Father, that we're able to gather around your word. Lord, you said where the carcass is, there would be the eagles be gathered together, Lord. And Lord, we see that it's such a late hour, Lord. We see the time that we live in, Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, I can say I've never been this homesick before. For a place I've never been, I've never seen, Lord. But only by the eyes of faith have we seen this, Lord. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you help us. Lord, that we'll always be faithful in the fight, Lord, in the struggle.
Yes.
Lord, that we're always going to be what you'd have us be in this hour, Lord Jesus. That we get ourselves ready, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, that you can mold us into your image, Lord. Do what you have your will and way with us, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, tonight we just pray that you come, Lord, just anoint me. Lord, just help me get over this tiredness, Lord, just Lord, you just remove all these things. Bless each one that's here in the building, Lord. Lord, many of them are tired from working through the day, Lord, and all the different struggles and things that have happened. And Father, we just pray that you just help us remove all that from the building tonight, Lord. Lord, that you'll have the preeminence tonight. You'll anoint the speaker and the hearer also. Lord, for each one that's everybody in this building, Lord Jesus, whatever the needs are, Lord, you know what's on each heart, what's on each mind. Lord, when we stand behind this sacred desk, Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. But Lord, we just lean on your leading, Lord, that you just give us the words, Lord, to speak to each heart. And Lord, for those that are watching by the way of the internet, Lord Jesus, we pray that you just be with them. Go into their rooms right now, Lord Jesus, and touch them, Lord. Yes. Whatever the needs are, Father, there's so many that are sick and afflicted, Lord Jesus. Lord, there's so many that have a need. But Lord, we know that you're the great physician, Lord. You're the all-powerful, all-seeing God, Lord. You know all things, Lord, before we even ask, Lord. But you said to ask that our joy might be full. So, Lord, we're asking, Lord. Lord, because we believe you. We believe your word. Lord, you give us your word for us to stand on, for to proclaim it, Lord Jesus. And that's what we do. And, Lord, you minister to each one in a special way. Father, bless your minister, your fivefold ministry around the world, Lord. There's so many that are, Lord, that are in the fight, Lord, and in the struggle, Lord. Lord, as they go forth, Lord, I just pray that you just bless them, anoint them. Lord, strengthen them. Lord, strengthen our pastor, Lord Jesus, and touch him, Lord. And each one of the brothers that are here, Lord, I'm just honored to be counted amongst them, Lord. And Father, just be with us in a special way this evening, Lord. Just have your will and way. Let it not just be another service, Lord, but we want to see you high and lifted up, Lord. We want to see you magnified and glorified in all things. Lord, we commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. I entitled this in the cleft of the rock. And having gotten to see a lot of mountains that I've never seen before. I'd seen the Rocky Mountains in pictures, but I can say I've actually got to see them up close. And there's a lot of folks, you know, Brother Bram talked about, there's a lot of folks, they like the beach and different things like that. I can tell you, I was in my element. I'm a mountain person. I like the wilderness. That's the person I am. It's beautiful. And if you've never been, you ought to go. But I told people, I said, well, we got a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. But, here in, Isaiah 40, verse 25. I want you to listen to this. This is what struck me, as God says, to whom then will ye liken me? Or who shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. That's a pretty powerful statement. He steps out there because, you know, when he goes through and you start reading about Isaiah and all the things that have happened in Israel and all the things that they've been through and everything like that. But then he comes out here and he begins to speak about this, you know, because they chase false gods. They've chased false doctrines. They chased all these other things. But he comes back and says, well, which one of them is like me? Who can be an equal to me? You walked in the world of sin. You've done all these things, but who can be my equal? He says, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we could just stop at that and almost go home. But Job chapter 39, verse 27. He says, doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. Now, I want you to remember that. And from thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. So, in Psalms 103, it says, and if they want to bring it up, they can. They don't have to. But it's very familiar scripture. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. So, I want to speak tonight on the cleft of the rock. And you know, I was thinking about seeing all these rock structures and all these things, and you know, Christ, the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians that, you know, the rock was Christ.
Amen.
You know, he said he led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And he said they all ate of the same spiritual meat. And he said they all drank the spiritual drink. He said, but God was not pleased with them. He said that rock followed them all their journey.
Amen.
Everything that they had need of was right there with them.
Amen.
And they were, not, and God was not well pleased because they didn't walk by faith. And so, you know, they didn't walk the way God, but God led them. And God was trying to take them to a place, and he had a place for them to be and for them to be blessed. And yet they didn't walk the way he wanted them to walk. What was given to them, they didn't follow any of that. But God continued to follow, you know, to lead them. And that rock that was behind, you know, stayed right there behind them the whole time. And when they became thirsty, there was water that came out of the rock.
Amen.
And everything that they had need of, God was there to meet it.
Amen.
And you know, here in the message, Brother Branham speaking of Israel and the church, Brother Branham says, up on they come into the smitten rock. He said, notice when they come to the rock, they had need. Now Moses smote the rock with the rod. That's where we left last night. Smote the rock with the rod, and the rod wasn't God's judgment rod, and the rod was God's judgment rod. And he smote the rock, and there was a cleft in the left side of the rock where the children of Israel got hungry. They went there. And a bee got in there and made a hive, and they got honey out of the rock. Everything they had need of was in the rock.
Amen.
The rock followed the church, and the rock was Christ Jesus.
Amen.
When they were thirsty, they drank from the rock. When they were hungry, they ate from the rock.
Yep.
Wherever they went, the rock followed them, and the rock's still following the church.
Amen.
Christ is the rock that was in the wilderness. Notice now, this is the same rock.
Yep.
So the same rock is still here today.
Amen.
So when they walked and they had a need, there was a rock for them to go to.
Amen.
Now when we go back and look, and he begins to speak of the eagle. Brother Ram talking about the eagle being in the rock and having, and you know, he said that they came from the storm and they hid from the storm. There was a place for them to go to. And that's what I liked about what Job had to say, because here's Job talking about, you know, who allowed he said, does the eagle mount up at thy command? You know, Job didn't have the power to control any of that. But see, God set all that in motion. That was all that God had done. He said, she dwelleth and abideth on the rock. And that rock was Christ.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, we're eagles. God types us as eagles. We're God's heritage. So there was a rock that was given for you and I to stand on. And he said, for us to come to that rock to stand on. So when he met their needs in the Old Testament and that rock was behind them and everything that they had need of, they came to the rock. Then the same thing, he said, that same rock follows us today. So the brothers and sisters, we have a rock to come to, a sure foundation, and everything that we have need of is in that rock. We have a rock to stand on, and he has placed that rock before us. And he said, everywhere they had to go, it was right there. And everything that we have need has been given to us in this day. Why? Because we live in a world that is nothing but shifting sand. There is no sure foundation. But brothers and sisters, we have a sure foundation. We have a sure word of prophecy that when everything else is falling apart, we have a place to stand. Why? Because we live in an hour where everybody has turned against this message. They've turned against the word and they lean to their own understanding. But the thing is everything that everybody has leaned to has failed. Everything else has collapsed. You know, one of the things I was thinking about was, you know, Brother Branham talks about these stories. And people are, well, they're just stories. But there's real biblical truth in what he had to say. And number two, I don't care if anybody, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I don't care if anybody says, well, science says it can't happen. Well, if Brother Branham said it, I'm going to take what Brother Branham said over what science ever says. Because they said all these stories about Brother Branham talking about the, and it's not that they were talking about Brother Branham specifically, but it was about the stories and how, you know, the eagle carries the young and all these different things. And they were saying, well, this can't happen. Said the young eagles, by the time they get out of the nest, they're too heavy for the mother to carry. And they come up with these different reasons about different things. And so like, I was like, well, listen, Brother Branham said he was sitting on a horse in a saddle with binoculars and he was watching that mother eagle take them baby eagles back up in the mountain. Exactly. It's good enough for me. But you know, it's just like everything else. People have taken everything that Brother Branham had to say, everything about the word, and they have set it to the side, and they spend all their time, well, did this really happen? Did that really happen? Is this true? Is that true? Well, the problem is people have not come to a sure foundation. Why? Because if you lean to your own understanding, if that's all you have is your finite mind, then you have no place to stand. Right. You're not ever going to reach anything because there's no foundation in a human body, in our human element, our human minds. Right. We're not ever going to make it. But we know that in the last days, that one thing would take place, that everything that could be shaken would be shaken. Because everything that can be shaken will be shaken, because you're going to find out that nothing else is going to stand, because that which is sure and that is true is the only thing that's going to stand. And because, you know, we live in an hour and a day that we see that because God has called a bride, and the bride has been called to the place that God has called her to, and it's to be the fulfillment of the word. In every age, God called a bride to be the fulfillment of the word for that day, and he has called a bride in our day to fulfill the word, and we are to be the word made flesh in our day, and we're to be the manifestation of what God has wanted in this hour, what the word has says what we should be. But we can stand there and we can worry and get all frustrated about things. But you know what? God has called us to a place. Amen. God has a place for us, and that is in the cleft of the rock. Amen. Yes. God has called us to a place. Why? Because he wants us to be like Jesus. Amen. You know, here in the message, show us the Father. 1950, Brother Ram says, he was a God-man. I believe he was the infinite Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary. That's right. Everything the Bible said he was, I believe he was. When he was on earth, he looked like God. He talked like God. He preached like God. He rose like God. He ascended like God. God was in him. God manifested here in a body of flesh on the earth in a form His Son, Christ Jesus. Notice, God was in His Son. He was always. God deals back there in the beginning when He was with the Israelites coming through the wilderness. There was a rock going along there following them, a spiritual rock. God told Moses, smite the rock, it'll bring forth water. What was it? He smote with the rock that was in His hand. The rod wasn't Moses' rod. That was God's rod, the judgment. And He smote the rock, and the rock brought forth water.
Amen.
He said, when one time they wanted a drink, they went to the rock. When they wanted something to eat, they went down there, and a bunch of bees had a hive in there. In the rock, there was a cleft. God stood in that cleft. The bees had their nest in the cleft. Everything they had a need of, they went to the rock.
Amen.
The Bible clearly teaches that Christ was the rock, was that rock that was in the wilderness. He said, if you're thirsty tonight, go to the rock. If you want honey, sweetness, go to the rock. If you want life, go to the rock. If you want to believe God was in His Son, go to the rock. He was in the rock. Speak to the rock, and it'll bring forth waters. There you are, God in His Son. So, when Jesus came, he said, I and my Father are one, and He was the manifestation of that. He said, everything that my Father shows me, that's what I do. He said, I do nothing. The Son does nothing of Himself except that what the Father shows Him. He said, I walk here. He said, because I'm here to please the Father. He said, I'm here to do the will of God. And He said, He walked like God. He talked like God. Everything was God. Why? Because that's who He was.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, that's who you and I are, as the children of God, as the offspring of God, is to manifest God in this hour.
Amen.
And see, it's such a blessing to know who we are and to know what we have.
Right.
But as Brother Branham said, we live so far below our means.
Right.
We don't claim what's ours.
Right.
Because, you know, God has poured out all things to us. And, you know, you think of what He done in His life when He came forth, all the things that He gave up. When He left the splendor of heaven, and when He came and He became to be born of a virgin, and He came into this world, and He was in a manger over a manure pile. Here He was, and He came, and you know, He came to suffer the same things that you and I suffer. And He comes to go through all the same struggles that you and I come through. And you know, He is our high priest, because He can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And of all the things that He came to do, and He came to close that chasm, to bridge the chasm that was between man and God. And He came to do that and bring us back into fellowship with Him, and to give us all things. Why, the scripture tells us, He said, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So all the things that He had, He said, all that God was, He poured into Christ. And then He said, all that Christ was, He poured into the believers. So all things have been given to you and I, have been poured into you and I. Why? Because we are just what He is. And yet, we find people that don't really, they get so tied up in the world. And you know, in the day to day life, and we get so bound, and we get so wound, because all we see is what we see in our view of these things, of these walls, and you know, just this three elements of, you know, these three, what's the word, brother? Dimension. Thank you. I knew somebody would know. But I mean, this is all we live. We live in these three dimensions, and that's all we see. We just live in this flesh, and that's all we see.
Right,
and you know, we still live under this veil.
Right. Exactly.
We said, so, we live under this thing, and you know, that's the devil's job, is to walk around, and you know, he's here to blind you.
Amen. Right.
We get so blinded to the things of the world.
Amen.
You know, we're spiritual beings, but we've come to have, you know, to have a natural, as Brother Ernie always said, you know, we're not natural beings having a spiritual experience. He said, we're spiritual beings having a natural experience. But you know, how we've come, but you know, that's His desire, is, you know, to walk around, and you know, He just wants us to have blinders on. And you know, we just walk around with our eyes blinded and we can't see, but God's trying to remove the veil. And you know, as the scripture tells us in Revelation, you know, he said, buy of me an eye salve that you can see. He said, you know, there was eye salve of the word that he wanted to bring to the people to clear their vision because they couldn't see. Why? Because it was so clouded. And so many times we allow the devil to come back and cloud our vision of who we are.
Amen.
And so many times we see what the prophet told us, what Brother Branham said, and what the scripture tells us, and then we see these things and we wonder why we don't advance.
Right.
Why? Because nobody steps out. You know, and I'm preaching on myself. I'm the world's worst. But when God has called us to a place, He's called us to a higher place. He's called us to a greater revelation. He's called us to a greater thing. And then you know what? You know what? And then we stay in the same place that we've always been. We always stay here. And God calls us up higher, and yet we don't go. But Brother Branham was speaking of an eagle coming in and being born in that rock. And brothers and sisters, that's you and I. We have been born in the rock. We've been born of Christ Jesus. We've been born of the Word. And so we have been born on a sure foundation. We have been built on the foundation of the Word, of the apostles and the prophets. So we have a sure foundation that you have been given to, that He has called us to this place. It wasn't what you've done, it's what He done. He's the one that's done it. He's the one that's brought you to this place. He's put you here, and He wants you to walk in the liberty of it. This is from the message, The Eagle Stirring Her Nest. Brother Ram says, he says, yet an eagle, all he hears, how much different he is from the chicken, but they're both birds. What is the chicken? The chicken is a denominational brother, but he's a chicken. How much different he is from the chicken? But the eagle goes just as high as he can and builds his nest in the cleft of the rock. And he goes up there so no predator can get to him. He said, that's the way a real preacher builds his church. As an eagle of God, he places it on the Word and the Spirit of God. He says, you know, all these old gappers and different things, none of this can affect you. He said, because he could send eagles so high born in the kingdom of God. He was talking about these, you know, Elvis Presley and Arthur Godfrey, the bunch of stuff. Just turn away from it. Because you are eagles in the hour of God is as the Spirit of the living God. He said, they're high ambitions. So, you know, the eagle goes to the highest place, the highest place that he can reach. Why? Because that's what God has called us to a higher place, to the highest place that we can reach. Why? Because it's always a stepping stone. Why? Because, you know, you come from your old life, and then there's a step of justification, which is a little higher in God. And then there's sanctification is a little higher in God. And the new birth is, you know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a little bit higher in God. Right. But then there's more steps above that to keep on climbing in God.
Amen.
And the message, and here in the message, the eagle in her nest, Brother Brown was speaking, he says, and as the church was born in the cleft of the rock, he said, we cannot be satisfied there. God stirs up the nest sometimes, comes in with a mighty rushing wind like he did on the day of Pentecost, and all the old worldly loose feathers fly out. He sends a Pentecostal revival and shakes up the nest. Then he gives a certain scream, and all the little eaglets know something's fixing to happen. They're eagles, that's the reason. When you see a shaking time come, eagles are ready for a blessing. The church is ready for something, the true church of God, when they see a shaking time coming.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, we are living in a shaking time.
Amen.
But God has called you to a place. So whatever place God has called you to, you know, there's a higher place to come to.
Amen.
And he says a real true eagle is not going to be satisfied where she's at.
That's right.
So there's a higher place to come to. So there's a, because he said when it's time to move, and sometimes we get stuck in a place where we don't move, he said then the winds of revival start blowing. The Holy Ghost starts moving for us to move on. So it's time, and many times we fail to move when the Holy Ghost moves. Many times we've had times in our lives where things have come and the Lord's tried to speak to us to move on, and we fail to move on. Why? Because we're so afraid to step out in faith to move with God. Why? Because if we fail to realize who we are and what God has called us to and who we are, if we know who we are, it's just like a child. You know, I talk about my boys, you know, my little Levi, wherever he's at, he just turned 16. Little, he is. Like my dad always said, I never was little. So I used to tell everybody when I was little, my dad said, you never was little. So I'd always tell everybody when I was young, he couldn't argue with that. But you know, when children, you know, they put their full trust in you. You know, you walk up to when they're little and you get your nose and they're like, oh, no, I still got it. But you know, they have trust. And what is it? I mean, you'll stand there and they'll jump off of something and they believe you'll catch them. You get a few more years, like, you know what? I wouldn't jump off this right here too much, you know. You know, going to hold on to something. And everybody's like, well, you know, we got to start looking to see what could happen. Well, they don't do that. Why? They have trust. And if we had faith, you know, because, you know, I can fail.
No doubt.
You can fail.
No doubt.
Everybody. But you know what? There's one thing that God cannot do.
Amen.
He cannot fail.
No. Amen.
God cannot fail.
Amen.
And so when God says, listen, I have something for you. So if he has something for us, then you know what? He's not an Indian giver. So if he's called us to this place that we can get into to be on this rock, to have a sure foundation, then you know what? We don't have to worry about what's coming. That we need to just put our full trust in him and believe, have confidence in what God says, and we can just walk with God and not have to worry about everything. But we allow when the winds blow and things happen, and then we start to worry what's going to happen. Well, you know what? It's not that I put my trust in a man. I don't have trust in a man. But I do have trust in the God of that man. I don't have trust. Because I don't put Brother Branham up on a pedestal. We honor and reverence the man for the God-given gift in his life and the call that he was given and the office that he had. But that didn't change who he was. He was still a man. And he still had to pass away. But you know what? That didn't change the God that was in that man. We don't worship a pastor, but we honor and reverence a pastor because he's a God-given man and he's been given a call and he's been given an office to do a job for us. He is a servant to us. And so he said, Brother Branham said that he was ordained of God to lead you through. But you know what? A pastor is not somebody to be your babysitter. He's not somebody to push you along. But he's supposed to guide you along. And you know, it's not his job to answer every little single question. Why? Because there's a time that he can guide you, but he's guiding you to Christ, and it's between you and God. Not to have somebody that, you know, do I have to ask him every single question? No, we've got to grow up and realize that he can see that God is being manifested in you. So then Brother Dale, he doesn't have to, you know, worry and all these things of, you know, and worry about what's going to take place and all the stress that comes with it. Why? Because if you and I stand on our own two feet, then you know what? Then he can see that we are following the word that has been preached. As he stood up here the other Sunday and said, you know, he said, we can say that the word has been preached in this church. We've had the word in our day. The word has come through from this pulpit.
That's right.
then you and I, we can stand and walk on that. But it's not been a man. It's been God all the way. And so then, you know, then God wants us to continue in that. So when things happen, when things come our way, it's not a man that we're looking at, it's God. Why? Because the one thing that hasn't changed, even though, you know, Brother Dale maybe not be preaching at this time, but there's one thing that we're not looking at. We're not looking at a man, we're looking at God. God has not changed. Nothing has changed. God's still the same. So then I have total confidence in whatever's going to take place. Why? Because God has it in control. I don't have it in control. I don't have to worry about it. And many times people will almost get to the point where they start to get white knuckled about things. I don't have to. God wants you to know that there's no need to be like that. Because if you're in the cleft of the rock that was Christ, if you're in that cleft, then you don't have to worry about the storms. You don't have to worry about the heartaches and the pressures. Why? Because as Brother Branham said, he said when that eagle went into that cleft of the rock and stayed there, he said then he could let off the pressure. So we have a place that we can go to. God wants us to be firm in our foundation. To be where God wants us to be. So, we don't have to worry about what takes place. God has it under control. But you know, you and I are the ones that we have a responsibility. We're the ones that Brother Brown said we're supposed to be praying for our pastor. Then you know, we have that responsibility to do that. Why? Because he has stood for us so many times, and now it's our time to stand for him. But I, you know, and if I can say anything tonight, you know, I just want your faith to be built. I want your faith to rise up. I want your hearts to be comforted. I want you to walk out of here tonight knowing that God is in control. Whatever you've heard today, and we get so wrapped up on things that happen in the world and the things that we hear and what the devil sits on our shoulder and tells us, what the doctor has told us, all these different things that have talked to us. But let me tell you what, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he said in the past is still the truth today, and it didn't change. Why? Because the one that came, the one that set all the stars in the heaven in orbit, and he spoke all things into existence, came in human flesh and came and became your Redeemer, and became your Father, and became your God, and he became your Advocate. And he's the same one today that he's your Healer. And of all these things that he's done, he's come, and now he's going to tell you, no fear. Let your hearts be comforted. So if he began to say all these things, the brothers and sisters, let me tell you, that's what God wants you to have. Whatever you have need of, all you got to do is reach out and get it. Why? Because he said that rock followed them. And he said it's the same rock that's following the church today. And if it's the same rock that's following you and I today, it's right there for us. But many times we fail to realize that the cleft of the rock, that smitten rock, was right there. When all the storms and all the things happen, we don't have to worry. There's a cleft in the rock. You know, the cleft was when Moses struck the rock and it created that cleft in the rock. Brother Branham said that was the spear mark in the side of Jesus. He said it opened up. It created the access. So when the bride came out from him, but he said that's where the bride came back to. Right in the heart of God.
Amen.
See, many times we fail to realize what God thinks of us, what God sees of us. He said, when you get to this place, it's not a place to weary. He said, we get so worried about things and we get so wrapped up in things, but he said, this is not a place to be worried. He said, this is a satisfying place.
Amen.
He said, this is a place to be satisfied.
Amen.
So that, because when, as in Psalms that we're reading in Psalms 103, he said, he fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Why? Because when that eagle went back into that cleft of the rock, then he had a place that he could let off the pressure. Brother Bram said when he went into that place and he was there, then he could scream out that he was relieved of those pressures. So we have a satisfying place. God wants us to realize who we are and what God thinks of us. See, many times we get so mindful of the things of the world that we don't realize what God thinks of us. And we don't think of what God thinks of us, then we don't realize what God wants us, what He has in store for us, what the good that He has for us.
Amen.
You know, and it's so good because even when we do wrong, yet as the scriptures, as we were reading there, when we took the communion there, you know, then we are chastened of the Lord.
Yes,
why? Because that's God's love to us that He would chasten us.
Amen.
He said that we will not be condemned with the world.
That's right.
Why? Because there's a separating, we're separated from the world. We're not like the world. There is a blessing, a covenant that we have that the world doesn't know anything about.
Amen.
They don't have what we have.
Nope.
But you know, there's a place that we can come to, that we show the world what God, who God is and what God is.
Amen.
What the love of God is. The world is looking to see what these things are, but it's you and I. But you know, so many times we just let ourselves get wrapped up and we're just living the normal life. We're just an employee somewhere. We're just a college student. We're just a high school student. We're just a kid. We're just, you know, just going through the normal, we're just going through the normal way of life, the normal routes and everything, and not realizing, you know, God, you can be God to people.
Amen.
God wants to show the world Jesus Christ, the love of God. Well, who's He going to show that to?
Amen. Right.
Through.
True,
so God has called us to this place that we can be what God has us to be. To come into that cleft of the rock that Christ was smitten. And it opened up access for you and I to come back. He wanted us to come back to.
Right.
So many times, you know, we get into our lives and we're so bound down by things and we don't realize who we are. What God has done, what the blessings God has given us. And He's called us to these things and we need to step forward and walk in the liberty that He has given us.
Amen.
To understand that we are in this cleft of the rock. And if we're standing in this cleft, then we have the pressure to let off. You know, Brother Brandon was speaking of that, of the eagle. And one time he was talking about, he tells the story about that old eagle. And he said, you know, there in that old eagle, you know, he gets all bound down with all these bad growth and different things. And he just gets so hardened. And he gets so bound down with things of the world, the cares of life. And he said he gets all over his beak and he gets all over his head. And he said, when he gets so bound that, you know, he can't live in that situation.
Right.
He said, he's got to go to the rock.
Yep.
And he said, when he goes to the rock, he said, there's a place for that eagle to go to.
Right.
And he said, you know, when he's down there in where he's born, he's on that one rock, but there's a higher rock to go to. And he keeps climbing and he goes to the highest one that he can get to.
Right.
And he's in there and he finds a place. And then in Job, it talks about, he said he goes to the crag of the rock. He said, he's on a solid rock. He said, then the crag of the rock. And he said, a strong place.
Yeah.
And he said, that eagle goes into that place, and he said he'll stand there. And realizing that if something doesn't take place, he's going to die. He gets to a place of desperation. And when he's in there, he walks up to that rock, and he said he begins to beat his head on that rock. Why? Because through that rock is the way that he comes back to life. And he stands there and he begins to beat, and he says, oh, he said he goes through all kinds of torture going through that beating that he has to go through, all that stress and the trauma that he's going through to have that stuff removed from his head. Amen. And he said he begins to beat on that thing, and he said, you know, then it just rattles his brain, but he goes up there and he keeps doing that, and he keeps beating on that. And he said, that's the way you and I are. We have a place to go to that we can have all that stuff removed. But you know, you've been called to that. You've been called to that place to do that. There's a place, you know, because, you know, you have to desire to have that stuff removed. Amen. He said, you know, as long as that eagle is there, he said, as long as he can feel a little bit of that stuff hanging on, he'll stay right there and beat his head until he gets all that stuff beat off of him. And so he said, there's a place that you come to. Why? Because it begins to move all of the things of the world and all the things that has been in the past that's held him down, that has limited him in all these areas. But he realizes, he said, he sees the blood as it begins to flow and all these things as it goes through. But he said he realizes there's a place for him to be, and he begins to beat, and he begins to beat. And he said, you know, there's a rock there there's a special rock that's there that he has to beat his head on to break all that stuff loose. And there's a designated place for him to come to, for him to beat all that stuff loose. And he knows what he has to do. And brothers and sisters, there's a rock that you and I have come to, and that special rock has been called to. You know, we can stand on a sure foundation, but you know, there's things in our lives we still got to get rid of. There's things that still hold us back that we've held on for too long, that bind us, that hinder us, and there's a way to get rid of it. And brothers and sisters, we have been stood before a rock. A rock. There has been a rock. Why? Because there's a way to get rid of the things of the world, the things that hold you back. Why? Because you can be a son of God and whatever, but there's still things that God wants to get out of our lives, that we have to be molded into the image of Christ. And there's a place that we can go to, that special rock that's honed a certain way. I was reading an article. This man was speaking of the rock formations, and you know, he was talking about a crag. And most of the time we think of a crag just being a extension out of a rock that comes out to a certain point. And you know, sometimes they have points and different things, but the one I was reading this article, and the man was talking about a crag of a rock and how it comes up out of a mountain. And he said the one thing that he mentioned that struck my attention was he was talking about how this thing is honed. This rock is honed to a certain point. And so when this rock is honed, why? Because there's a honing that has to be done. There's a special rock that we come to. Why? That's honed to this word that's come to the day that we live in, that is to own us to that. So, you know, it's not longer I, it's not me, but to cut away all of the worldly, all of the old man, all of the other things, that we can be just Jesus Christ. That we molded him the image of Jesus Christ, and there's a rock that can come in and just cut all that away. And we have been given that in our day. That we can, you know, that we have to come to this foundation, but there's a rock that's here to cut all these other things away from us. And we can be cut, and we can be free from all these things. And he said, as long as he begins to feel just a little bit of that old junk that he's held on, that has bound him, he said he's going to stay right there, and he's not going to leave. And he said he's going to stay right there, and he's going to get all that stuff loose. And he said, until he breaks all that stuff loose, and when he gets off of his head and off his beak and everything, when he gets free, he said, then he begins to scream. He begins to scream that he's free, that he's been freed from these things. And brothers and sisters, when you receive the word in our day, when you've received the word of freedom and liberty, and he has set you free, then you can see and stand up and proclaim your liberty and freedom and say who you are. God has called us to these things that you can, that we can stand up and proclaim what God has done in our day. Not to be bound by the things of the world. But God has called us to this place. God has called us to the place that we can be free from these things. And I'm so thankful that we have a word that has been given in our day. As he said, add to your faith. So your faith is where that foundation is, where you're on that rock. But he said that eagle gets to a place where they start wanting to find a higher place. He said they can't be satisfied where they are. What is that? He said, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. In that honing rock, that stone, as you're going up, there's a honing that's taking place. Why? Because when God starts to speak to you, you still feel the things of the world. But you know, that's what he's doing. He's calling you to realize, hey, I still got things I got to get rid of. But he's called you to stand in the cleft of the rock that you can be free from these things. And so we stand in the cleft of the rock and we see these things, and God wants us to be free of these things. Yes. Many times the word has been brought forth. Why? Because it shows us what needs to be taking place. Amen. Lord, let us be free from these things. Lord, help us get rid of these things. Amen. What is it that we need to do, Lord? Help us that we can step forth and we can cut all these things of the world loose from us. Lord, we don't want to be bound by the things of the world. While we still fight a carnal mind. This body is still under the curse of death. Amen. But there's a word that's been given that we can cut away all these things.
Right.
That we can be free to walk in the liberty of the word. The word has called us to a body change. Well, if he's called us to a body change, then what is the body? Then the word has called us to cut away all these things. Well, death is still holding on, but you know what? He will not hold us. Why? Because the word has been given to us to cut all that away. When death starts up your sleeve, when the death angel comes or whatever, you know what? He'll have to pass you by. Why? Because he don't have a hold on you. There's a place that we can come to. There's a body change that's been called to us, a group of people. And we've been called to that place. And I want you to know, realizing that how fortified you are. When all the storms that rage and all the things that take place, you're on a sure foundation. Just as Moses there, you know, God speaking to Moses, and you know, he began to speak to him. He said, Lord, I want to see you. Lord, I want to see who you are. And in that time, God told Moses, he said, I have a special place for you. He said, I want you to come stand in this rock, in this cleft of the rock. Brother Bram was speaking. He said that Moses smote the rock and it created the cleft. It brought forth the water, but then Moses went back in that cleft to see God. And God has a place for you. You want to see more of God, there's a place to be standing that you can see more of God. God has a place for you. And so that cleft is for everybody.
Amen.
There's a higher place to come to.
That's right.
That we can come to, that we can see God.
Amen.
Brother Bram says, this is from letting off the pressure. Brother Bram says, he said, I know a rock that man can come to. And he said, and can beat and be beat until all the doubt is gone. All the worry and cares of the world is gone. When he's beat the crust of sin from around him until the blood has sanctified his soul, then eternal life is sure to come. He can just sit back and let off the pressure because eternal life is sure. Oh, eagles, today that's why you're here, your eaglets. But if the crust has begun to blind your eyes, the cares of the world, or you just can't swallow all the food of God, let's come to that rock in a weary land. Let's come there and beat upon the altar until the crust is broke and our eyes can see clearly. Jesus again and the cares of this world has passed away. Then the pressure will let off. He's a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm, a refuge, a haven of rest for the weary. He said, let's come to that place. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can stand and we'll have the musicians come.
Amen.
I want to sing that song, Brother Boyd. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. that shadows a dry, thirsty land. Amen. You know, you can be in a weary place. You can be in a dry place. But you know what? God's there. And if that rock is there behind you, you say, oh, look how dry it is. And they were like, just like the children of Israel, they were so afraid that they were going to be, they're going to dry. They're going, we're going to die right here. And not realizing the rock is right there. Everything that they had need of was right there. And many times we get wrapped up, well, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? Well, you know what? God has every footstep. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. So whatever happens, you know what? God has His hand in it.
Amen.
So if sickness comes my way, then you know what? It doesn't change the fact that He's still the healer.
Amen.
And if you have any kind of problem in your life, if it's financial, then you know what? He still knows how to make a way. Why? Because the scripture tells us that Peter was there with Jesus and they had to pay their taxes. Well, you know what? They went fishing.
Yeah, that's right.
When the woman had to pay her bill and the prophet come to her and told her, so we'll gather up all the vessels.
Yeah.
Well, then you know what? They started, he said, and then when it became a famine I love that story. Elijah, you know, he's sitting down there by the brook, Cherith, and he's sitting there and the ravens are feeding him. You know, he's getting spiritual sandwiches. He's getting fed meat and bread and he's sitting there beside the brook and he's drinking and he's just enjoying himself in the presence of the Lord. And God tells him, said, listen, I've prepared a widow woman to sustain you. I'm doing pretty good right here beside this brook. But there's this woman over there with her and her son, and she's starving to death, and she's milling, measuring out the meal and wondering how long her meal's going to last. And she's sitting there scraping in the barrel trying to figure out where she was, what's going to take place. But you know what? She did not realize, she did not look in that other realm because there was a way that was already made for her, but she didn't see it. She didn't see what God had prepared for her. But she was sitting there just scraping by on that little meal. But when Elijah came out of the wilderness and he came to her and he spoke to her, then you know what she done? She went along with what he said. He said, can you give me a drink of water? And you know what? Didn't hinder her. And he said, oh, can you make me a little cake? Well, you know, that called her attention. But you know what? She stood there and said, I'm the prophet of God. And I have brought you a word.
That's right. Amen.
And I want to tell you something, sister. He said, if you make me a little cake first, he said, you'll never go hungry all through this famine.
Right.
He said, everybody around you is going to be starving to death. And you're going to see death and destruction and all these things, but it won't touch you.
Amen.
Why? Because God had made provision for her.
Amen.
And she went out there and made it. And it didn't matter how little that cake was, she followed the word that the prophet had given her. And she made that cake.
Amen.
And he took that cake, and because she honored his word and she followed what he had to say, then she was blessed.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, we've been given a word in our day. And we take this word and we believe it. And if we pray for somebody and they don't get healed, well then it should send us into desperation. But you know what? I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue to pray till they get healed.
Amen.
Whatever you have need of, then you know what? We can stand here and claim it. We don't have to lay hands on you. You believe it. You stand up and proclaim it. You say what God said. He's the high priest of your confession. Then what is your confession tonight? Because if you're standing in that cleft that he has opened the word to you and you're fortified behind the word, then you can say. He said, you say to this mountain and don't doubt in your heart. Brothers and sisters, we should get rid of, because God's made a way for us to get rid of the doubt. That we can stand behind the word and we can proclaim what God has said.
Amen.
Why? Because we can claim our families and not have to worry when the things go up and down and all things go sideways. We don't have to worry.
Amen.
When you go to the doctor and he gives you a bad report, then you know what? We go to the great physician, and I tell you, it's always a good report. What if you have a need in financial or whatever, spiritual, whatever it is, if you're praying about something and you say, well, Lord, I just don't see these things in the scripture just right. I don't understand how these things put together. And I've heard Brother Wade preaching. I've heard Brother Dale preaching. The brothers, they preach these things and I've read what you said. I just don't see it to come together. It's cloudy and it's a little, I don't understand these things. But you know what he said? He said a real true eagle will understand. Well, then you know what? I can just put my faith in. I put my confidence in that. Well, I don't know when it's going to come. It may not. You know, Brother Dale can tell you all those years that he said, written five books, whatever, listen to two tapes, all of those. You know, it just didn't come overnight, just fall in his lap. Why? Because it came gradually. It came bit by bit, little by little. He said, you know, here, there, a little bit. Word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept. So he began to add upon those things. Well, brothers and sisters, don't fail to hold on. Don't fail to hold on to what God, whatever you claim, then hold on to it. Don't back up. Don't worry about the winds that blow. You're in the cleft of the rock. When the storms are raging, stand by me. Well, that's where he's at right there, in the cleft of the rock with you. He is the cleft of the rock.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother Sink.
Oh, wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul.
He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and he covers me there with his hand, and he covers me there with his hand.
16. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden.
Cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and he covers me there with his hand, and he covers with his hand.
With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture. Amen.
shadows a dry, thirsty land. You said your angels of God can't help those that fear. Lord, we believe it. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ.
When clothing is brightness transported, I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation is wonderful.
And he covers me back
with his hand.
Yeah, you go ahead.
What we're going to do is we're going to all pray over these prayer cloths, Brother Al. We can't get to him, but we can get these cloths to him, and this is what he uses every day, so we're going to pray over them. Need the ministers and the deacons and the elders, whoever wants to come up. Whoever wants to come up here, we'll all bind together, all of you, if you want to. It doesn't matter. We need to pray for Brother Al.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to make an announcement before we do that. Number one, this Sunday, Brother Claude Weisinger is going to be with us. He's going to be preaching both services. And then the Bible study from 6 to 8 on Saturday. And I've been thinking about a topic all week and or from Sunday till today, and this is what we're going to talk about. You can bring your questions if you want to, but we're going to talk about what did Brother Branham mean when he said we live in a three-room house. Remember, hey, he said we live in a three-room house. Amen. So that's what we're going to. That's going to be our topic of discussion. What he meant when he said, because that's been on my heart, and it hadn't got off of it for the past 3 days. So I think that's what we're going to talk about. A three-room house, and also remember Brother Luis will be preaching next Wednesday. Amen. So let's come over here and let's pray. Everybody pray together.
Amen.
Let's lay hands on this. Come on here. And let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we've heard a wonderful message tonight, and Lord, now, Lord, may the anointing of that message, Lord, transfer to this to these claws, Lord, as a healing anointing that will go to our brother, Lord. He stood for you a long time, Lord, here on earth. Now I pray that you'll stand for him, Father, as these prayer claws go to him, Lord, that he'll come out of whatever he's the therapy that will do him really well, and he'll be able to come home real quick. We know, Lord, that we're all longing for a better place, but now we do have a natural home to go to, and Brother Al would truly like to go back to his natural home. And I pray that these cloths will be placed on him, Lord, and because of the prayers of all the saints in this building, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that these cloths will help our brother, Lord, and bring him back, Lord, and where he can sit in a congregation with us, Father, and be there with his wife along beside her, Lord, and they too can listen and join into the service, Lord, and worship and sing, Lord. That's the desire of every Christian, Lord. And Lord, as we pray, Lord, we ask that you sanctify us, Lord, for this journey. Be with the ones that are even touching this cloth, Lord, that you'll bless each one, Father. Be with us, Lord, and take care of us in Jesus' name. Amen. But give that brother, give that sister Anna.
The full Savior to me. With my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see.
Sing it to him as you're dismissed.
Oh, he hideth my soul.
Best Bible study, 6 o'clock.
In the cleft.